Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5? The book of Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 21. Wise living. Let's pray. Father, I pray that would be true of us all, that we would take these lives that you've given us, this very temporary time on the earth that you've given us, that we would use it wisely. Every day, Lord, that we would spend it wisely. Teach us about that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think Americans love lists. There's a lot of lists that you can read about or watch. David Letterman and his top 10 list, pretty famous. I like the top 10 plays on ESPN. Or the not-so-top 10 plays, those are actually my favorite, the bloopers. There are all sorts of lists that you can view. In fact, there's a website called thetop10s.com, and it lists 10 whatever. In 1989, Stephen Covey published the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. 7 Habits. Over 15 million copies of that book were sold. We like lists. Well, this morning, our passage in Ephesians reads a lot like a list. In fact, I see 8 characteristics of wise living. Listen carefully. If you want to live your life wisely as a Christian man or woman, please pay attention to the list that we have before us. We're going to read through the text, and then we're going to go back and look at each characteristic in general. Look at verse 15. Paul, writing to Christians, says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Characteristic number one, if you want to live wisely, then it says you walk circumspectly. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." Remember, we've seen that word walk many times in Ephesians. It speaks of how you live your life, the consistent manner in which you live your life day by day. Paul is saying that those who live life wisely live circumspectly. Now, this is a Greek word, which is pos akribos in the Greek. 2 words, pos meaning with, and listen, akribos means precision, accuracy, exactness. Paul is saying that wise people live their life with precision. They're very exact. They fine-tune. Thoughtfully considering life. I believe what Paul's getting at here is if you want to live a wise life, then you need to be a planner. You need to be somebody who is carefully thinking through the way you're spending your life. You should be the person that would get up and plan your day. A person that plans the week, the month, the quarter. All day long, as things present themselves to you, you wisely think through and decide thoughtfully, mindfully, deliberately, whether or not you should do that. And there's long-term planning. Where am I going to go to school? What has God called me to do? What is the career? You sit down and you plan and you think. There are too many people, folks, who drift through life. They live their life letting life happen to them. And I see a lot of, especially young people, seem sort of aimless. They just sort of bounce around. They go, it's whim to whim to whim. Whatever a friend might be saying or whatever this influence might be having. Listen, that's unwise living. Wise living is living deliberately, with precision, planning, thinking through. Circumspectly is also a word that means to live life guarded. The Latin word means walk looking around. The idea is be cautious. The idea is when you walk through life, be aware of your circumstances and the dangers that are all around you. Be cautious. There's so much in life that's dangerous. There are so many influences that can damage you. A person who lives life wisely is very, very cautious and aware of dangers. You know, just being gullible and just going down the road and not even thinking. Circumspectly is this word. It's very, very important. It's being exact and it's being guarded. Young person, are you living life like that? Adult, are you living life like that? Are you a drifter? Are you a bouncer? Or do you live deliberately? Paul says, live circumspectly. Look at verse 16, the second characteristic, redeeming the time. Oh, how important that one is. Redeeming the time. A person who lives life wisely redeems time. The idea is a person who lives life wisely finds these pockets of time that are being wasted. Buys back those pockets of time and makes them productive. It speaks of somebody who maybe was spending a whole lot of time doing evil things, but then buying that time back and doing good things. It's making the most of your time, redeeming it. When I was in college, I heard an illustration that I've never forgot. Let's pretend that you had a bank that credited your account every morning with $86,000 in cash. Wouldn't that be cool? Every morning, $86,000 put in your bank account. It would never carry over, though. You couldn't keep cash in it from day to day. At the end of the day, you'd lose whatever you didn't spend. What would you do with that account? You draw every cent every day out, of course, right? And you'd use it to your advantage. Well, you have such a bank, and its name is time. Every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night, it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to good purposes. It carries over no balances. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposit, the loss is yours. There's no going back and there's no drawing against tomorrow. Do you understand and realize how precious time is? how important it is for us as Christians, if we're going to live wisely, to use all that time for good things. Now, we live in a modern day where a lot of time wasters have been invented. I mean, you think about it. TV is still one of the number one time wasters. People spend hours looking at boxes. I think of all the social media, the Facebook and the Twitter and the Instagram and the Snapchat and the Vine and the YouTube. And the on and on and on and on and on, and how many people spend so much time on that. Man, Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, he built a $100 billion empire. Basically taking advantage of the fact that people love to waste time. That person that you're watching in the TV, they're making lots of money with their time while you sit on your duff watching them make their money. You think about that. Think about what you could do with time. I'm not saying that you can't ever look at Facebook. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any. You know what? Schedule it. Fine-tune your life. Redeem time. Say, I'll take this time in my day to look at that stuff and catch up with friends. But the other time of the day, I'll be working. I'll be studying. I'll be having meaningful conversations with real, actual people. I'll be serving God. Redeem the time. The wise people in this world are redeeming time. They're using time productively. Keep looking. The third characteristic, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, that is a command. If you are a Christian, that's not an option. You are to understand the will of the Lord. The Greek word for understand is syneme. It has the idea of seeing all the pieces together, comprehending together. I'll read the definition right out of my Greek dictionary. The comprehending activity of the mind denoted by syneme entails the assembling of individual facts into an organized whole, as collecting the pieces of a puzzle and putting them all together. The mind grasps concepts and sees the proper relationship between them. The idea is, if you want to live a wise life, then you are to have a comprehensive, well-rounded, thorough understanding of the will of the Lord. And you say, well, how do I find that? Well, where do you find the will of the Lord, my friends? In the Bible. If you want to live wisely, then you should have a well-rounded, thorough, comprehensive understanding of God's Word. The pieces, how they go together, the Old Testament and the New Testament, how they work, and the theology. The morals of the Bible, the practical wisdom that we find in the pages of Scripture. You know, God speaks about finances and marriage and parenting and dating and business and career and all of these sorts of things. Just a wealth, a treasure house of information that's right here. It's at your fingertips. And so, yes, I do encourage our graduates every year. You haven't stopped reading. Keep reading the Bible. Keep studying the Bible. In all of their books, I wrote a little note, and I also referenced Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Do you understand that if you know the Word of God and you study it, God promises you a fruitful, successful life. God leading you. Man, take that time to study the Bible. We study the Bible here at church on Sundays and Wednesdays, but that's not enough. For you personally, you need to be studying it for yourself. Amen? You say, well, what is the will of the Lord for my life? What about the decisions that I want to make? What career or what school I need to go to? I don't know any chapter or verse in the Bible for that. How do I find that will of the Lord? Prayerfully. That's where you come to the Lord and you pray and you're with Him and you're spending time with Him. And you're running everything in your life by Him. If you belong to the Lord, don't you think the Lord's going to show you where He wants you to go? Or is the Lord up there like, I want to keep it a secret as long as possible? No. The Lord knows you, has created you. He has a plan for your life. Spend time with Him. Find out what it is. Those who live lives wisely have a good understanding of the will of the Lord. Now, look at the fourth in verse 18. This is the only negative in the list. Seven of them are thou shalt, thou will do this. Here's the only negative one. This is the one that says don't. And this is a biggie. And this is very, very important. Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Do you get any weird figurative interpretation from that? What does that say? Do not be drunk with wine. Do not drink alcohol to excess. Dissipation means excess. It means debauchery. It means drunkenness. If you're going to live a wise life, don't be a drunkard. Don't be a stoner. Don't be getting high on drugs. Don't be a partier. Don't be a reveler. That is unwise living. It's foolish. There should be no place for that in a Christian's life. People do the stupidest things when they're drunk. People commit sins when they're drunk. People cheat on their spouses when they're drunk. People kill people when they're drunk and they get behind a wheel. The more you drink, the more you like it. And eventually you can become imprisoned to alcohol. You can become an alcoholic. And that can lead to all kinds of destructive things. Alcohol, drug abuse has taken out people's businesses, their marriages, their families, their reputations and community. A lot of people who are alcoholics completely miss out on the childhood of their kids. They might be there, but they're not really there. Do not be drunk with wine. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 23 said, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine, mixed drinks. Speaks of the person who just loves to go and try all of the mixed drinks. It's unwise. Do not be drunk with wine. It's so sad. People try to find happiness and satisfaction in drink, and all it does is complicate and multiply problems. A member of Alcoholics Anonymous once sent columnist Ann Landers the following. He writes, "We drank for happiness and became unhappy. We drank for joy and became miserable. We drank for sociability and became argumentative. We drank for sophistication and became obnoxious. We drank for friendship and made enemies. We drank for sleep and awakened without rest. We drank for strength and felt weak. We drank medicinally and acquired health problems. We drank for relaxation and got the shakes. We drank for bravery and became afraid. We drank for confidence and became doubtful. We drank to make conversation easier and slurred our speech. We drank to feel heavenly and ended up feeling like hell. We drank to forget and were forever haunted. We drank for freedom and became slaves. We drank to erase problems and saw them multiply. We drank to cope with life and invited death." It's not wise. It's not wise. Do not be drunk with wine. And listen, don't buy all the world. You know, the world paints it as so pretty. You know, the most interesting man in the world drinks this beer. Listen, when you drink beer, you're not the most interesting man in the world. You're sitting around slurring and throwing up somewhere. Don't believe the commercials. I love the ones. You're watching the game, and then here comes a beer commercial, and you got all these beautiful girls in bikinis playing their volleyball, drinking beer, and the big stud muffins walking around drinking. Listen, people who drink beer don't have bodies like that. They don't. They get fat and bloated. Don't buy the lie. Don't buy the lie. Young person, don't buy the lie. There are people sitting here right now who are addicted to a substance. And they would get up here if they could and they would say to the young person, don't. Don't. Maybe you're here this morning and you're in that chain. You're in prison. I want you to know there's hope for you. We make messes of our lives, but if you give your life to Christ and if you ask him to be your Savior, he can come in and change and transform your life. And by his Spirit, you can defeat that addiction. You got to want to do it. You got to want to take those steps that would get you help. Let me tell you, those of you, don't even start. Don't even go down that path. Do not be drunk with wine. Look at the fifth at the end of verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit. I like that a whole lot better, don't you? Christian, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to live your life wisely, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the whole format and structure of the Greek here is that this is to be an ongoing process. If you are a Christian and you want to live a life, a wise life, then you are to keep on continuously being filled by the Holy Spirit day by day. Day by day. Now you say, well, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? When you give your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in, right? When you become a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit will take up residence in your life, and he will never leave you. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean then to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Daily, continuously. The idea is living a life where every day you're allowing yourself to be controlled by God's Spirit. And I think that's why it's in contrast to alcohol. When you're drunk, you're under the influence of alcohol. They even call alcohol spirits, right? We're not supposed to be under the influence of alcohol. We're supposed to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Controlled by Him. The idea is, brother and sister in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, and every single day you should yield your life to Him. You should be aware of His presence in your life. You should be walking in dependence upon Him day by day, moment by moment. One of the best definitions of this is the one I'm about to read to you. I don't think you can put it any better. Listen carefully. Just as you have left the whole burden of your sin and have rested on the finished work of Christ, so leave the whole burden of your life and service and rest upon the present inworking of the Holy Spirit. Give yourself up morning by morning to be led by the Holy Spirit and go forth praising and at rest, leaving Him to manage you in your day. Cultivate the habit all through the day of joyfully depending upon and obeying Him, expecting Him to guide, to enlighten, to reprove, to teach, to use, and to do in and with you what He wills. Count upon His working as a fact, altogether apart from sight or feeling. Let us believe in and obey the Holy Spirit as the ruler of our lives, and let us cease from the burden of trying to manage ourselves. Then shall the fruit of the Spirit appear in us as He wills, to the glory of God. Do you understand? It's this day by day. You get up every morning as a Christian, you remember that the Holy Spirit is inside you, and you say, Spirit, take my life today. Take my life today. Use my life today. And practice that all throughout your day. The Spirit's with you. You know the Spirit's with you? All day? Day by day? He never takes a lunch break? Walk by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at the sixth characteristic in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Those who live lives wisely are worshipers. Christian, listen to that. If you want to live this wise, positive, productive, fruitful life, then you will be a consistent worshiper of God. You will be that person who is always thinking about God and how good God is and how great He is. And you live to worship Him and you magnify Him and you exalt Him. You're focused on God. And there's two ways that are mentioned. It says speaking to others in hymns and spiritual songs. The idea is with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're the one who's always saying, man, isn't God great? You're always talking about the Lord. You're bringing the Lord up in every conversation. You're drawing attention to God and to His greatness, even with people that don't know the Lord. You're slipping, you ever slip God in every way you can, you know? They might say, hey, beautiful day. And you could say, yeah, isn't God awesome? Or they might compliment you on something. Wow, you did real good here. Yep, and I give all the glory to God. Or maybe somebody says, man, I know you're going through a hard time, but it's amazing how you're getting through it, man. It's the peace of God. See, it's always speaking about God. It's always pointing to Him. Giving Him glory. That's wise living. That keeps your focus. So speaking to others, but then it also says making melody in your heart. And for those of you with bad voices, that's a good verse, isn't it? Making melody in your heart. There's a song in your heart every day. You worship God. You're in love with God. Praising God. Day by day. The seventh is similar, verse 20. Giving thanks, what? Always. For all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who live life wisely give thanks day by day. You're not a chronic complainer. You're thankful. Christian, we should be the most thankful people on the planet. Amen? We give thanks to God, and it says for all things. We can always thank God for our salvation. The fact that one day we're going to go to heaven. We can thank God for his resources, his spirit, his word. We can even thank God for the trials in our life because we know God is using them for our good. Listen, don't be the chronic complainer, especially as a Christian. Don't be this negative bummer everywhere you go. Be positive. Be thankful. And hopeful. The last characteristic I want to mention this morning, the eighth, and this is a very important one. How we relate with our fellow man. Look what it says, verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. You want to live a life that's wise, then you will submit yourself to other people. Now that sounds totally backwards, doesn't it? The world says, assert yourself. Show them who the man is. Put your best foot forward. Take control of the situation. The scripture says, submit yourself to other people. In other words, the idea here is prefer. Prefer other people. Work with other people. Serve other people. Be a team player. Don't be the person who walks around and says, look at me, and you do this, and you do that. Now, this isn't breaking down any of the authority structure in the scripture. There is authority structure in place. There are positions of authority and leadership that we should walk in submission to. And we'll talk about that over the next several weeks. But as far as your everyday living and in your everyday contact with people, you're submissive. That's wise. When you have an attitude like that, when you're a team player, when you learn how to work with other people and love other people, oh, let me tell you, your life will thrive. Your relationships will thrive. If you can't get along with people, if you abuse your authority or whatever you might, I mean, if you will not have a good time of it. These are important things. Living the wise life. Planners. Redeemers of time. Understanding God's will. Not being a drunkard. Constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Living each day as a worshiper. And thanking God. And being a submissive team player with other people. Oh man, look out. Look out. You watch what God will do with a life like that. Let's pray that we would have lives like that. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I pray that we would live those lives that are pleasing to you. Lord, even right now, I pray that even as we consider the whole idea of graduation and the milestone and looking back a little, but now looking forward, I pray that every one of us would evaluate our lives individually before you right now. Lord, where can we improve? Where can we do better? Where are we dropping the ball, Lord? Lord, help us to redeem time. Father, I pray that we would take that time, Lord, diligently discipline ourselves to plan, to think, to pray, to meet with you, to read your word. Lord, I would pray for anyone here also this morning who needs to be delivered from addiction. God, I believe that you have the power to break those chains. And I pray, God, you'd do that in the lives of people. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I invite you to do so right now. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask him to deliver you. You cry out to God with me. Cry out this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I cry out to you. I invite you to be my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Wash them all away. Fill me with your Spirit. Deliver me from this addiction. Change my life. Let's all stand. And Father, as we stand before you now, I pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit upon your people. Fill us with your Spirit. Control our lives. May we hear your voice day by day. May we take the time to listen for your voice. Fill your people with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.